This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus rolls on. George Sedano in for Max. If you want to hop aboard, get in on the conversation, you can at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Jeff Darlington is going to stop by in about 10 minutes. We'll find out who Tom Brady was calling out on the shop on his appearance a couple of weeks ago. Jeff's got to know. Jeff's like Mr. Tom Brady. He had the Tom Brady sit-down. Darlington, you can't lie to me. I've known you for too long. I know you know. You better tell us and the audience. And plus, we got to get into all these contract extensions I was just talking about. The fact that Lamar doesn't have a contract extension, Baker doesn't have a contract extension, Josh Allen doesn't have a contract extension. What's going on here? Our team's maybe just getting a little smarter, per se, in regards to the way they handle quarterbacks, not rushing into marriage necessarily with a long-term deal. I actually think that's the prudent way to do business, to be frank with you. But we'll start with the NBA Finals here and what's going on in the NBA. We'll get to Jeff, who will join us, as I mentioned, in about 8 minutes or so and talk some football with him. But look, I just think we're at a point where I know it's only one game. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. But it feels like Chris Paul's time at the moment. If you've been watching the Phoenix Suns this playoffs, or these playoffs, basically since they were down 2-1 against the Lakers, and I know we can sit here and argue injuries, good fortune, bad fortune, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but you can make that case for the entire league this year, and Milwaukee as well, for that matter. But we got who we got. This whole season has been a battle of attrition. Interestingly enough, kind of like an NFL season. An NFL season, it's usually the team that's good that also is the healthiest is the team standing in the end. More times than not, we've had that. Don't forget, you know, we can go back, you know, a decade or so, or maybe longer now, where the Giants won some Super Bowls as 10-win teams, 9-win teams, right? The Steelers did that 1 year. It's a battle of attrition in the NFL. And it's like that in a lot of sports. In the NBA, not as much, but it has been this year. I believe the number heading into the playoffs was 20% of all-stars missed at least double-digit games this season before the playoffs started. It's a crazy number, man. So we can argue about that all we want, but it just feels like the cosmic dust is in the air, and it feels like this is Chris Paul's time. And the last time I was on here for Max last week, I said Chris Paul's got to finish the deal. He can't just get here. He's got to finish this deal. And yes, Giannis looks healthier than I thought he would look after that injury. And my guess is he may be healthier. I'm not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination. But I feel like Chris put his stamp on game one, and he is getting better as the postseason has gone on. Because let's not forget, Chris Paul has dealt with his own set of injuries. Not only historically, as we all know, but in this postseason as well. And what he means to that team, man, it's incredible. Think about it. If you're these young dudes, outside of Jay Crowder, basically, he's the guy who you had a poster of in your room, probably. And he's the guy leading you to the promised land. Think about what he's done for Devin Booker. Think about what he's done for DeAndre Ayton, man, who put up numbers that only like Kareem has put up and Wilt and guys like that in an NBA Finals. That's what he means. Don't believe me? Let's listen to DeAndre Ayton in the post-game press conference talking about Chris Paul.
I got to say he's the best thing that happened to my career. And he's only been in 1 year and just, you know, just teaching me so many things. And, you know, the most important thing he told me, you know, that can take me a long way in my career as well as angles. You know, I wasn't too sure on what he was meaning. I said, man, I could do a lot of things. Angles, you mean angles. You know what I'm saying? So just finding how to get people open, you know, how to slip out of screens, how to, you know, get him to his spots and stuff like that, just to put pressure on certain teams, defense, stuff like that. You know, he's been a big deal. And just paying attention to detail, you know, the little things that matter. You know, see, he's always on that. And, you know, he made it contagious to where we're on it now. You know, he can't miss any little things, so we're on him. So it's just vice versa on just communicating criticism.
As long as I've covered the NBA, and I've covered the NBA since 2003, there are four guys that stand out to me as far as just not only knowing the game, but seeing what can happen and thinking multiple steps ahead, okay? And their preparation, like, second to none, basically. Well, I mean, I'm going to name four guys, but you get my point. Chris Paul is one of those. LeBron James, another one of those. Rajon Rondo is another one of those. And Shane Battier is another one of those. Those four guys. And, well, I'm going to add a fifth, who, may he rest in peace, Kobe Bryant is in that conversation. Those guys there, those five guys, I don't think I've ever come across anyone in the years that I've been covering this league, which is now 18 years. I'm 43 years old now. In the 18 years that I've covered that league, those five guys, they're just like a different kind of breed as far as understanding the nuances to the game. And that's what DeAndre Ayton is talking about there. He's like, he's taught me angles. I'm like, angles? What are you talking about, angles? And Chris like, look, here's how you do this. How you slip the screen, et cetera, et cetera. It makes the game easier for you because he teaches you stuff. He is like a coach on the floor. It reminds me, his career trajectory, although not apples to apples, I mentioned this earlier, reminds me a lot of John Elway. You know, John Elway, arguably the greatest quarterback of his generation. Chris Paul, arguably the greatest point guard of his generation. It wasn't until late in his career, John Elway, that he was able to get over the hump after all the playoff disappointments and the issues that he had. And when that happened, he was old. Think about it. 1998. He was drafted in 1983. 15, 16 years into his career. Pretty similar to Chris Paul. And when he won those Super Bowls, John was still good. He still had big moments. But that team was carried by Terrell Davis and that defense and the weapons around him. And I'm not saying that Chris needs to be carried necessarily, because I don't think John necessarily needed to be carried. But it was easier at that stage of his career, in his mid to late 30s, to have those guys around him and have the bell cow running back and the defense and the guys on the outside, McCaffrey and Rod Smith, et cetera, Shannon Sharp, right? It was so much easier for him. And those are the tools that John had. So they were able to lift him up. Carry is probably too strong. I'll take that back. Help lift him up. And this team has done that as well. Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, the role players, Crowder, Mikal Bridges, et cetera, et cetera. Cam Johnson. So it's really fascinating to see the parallels between the two. And on the other side with the Bucks, they need to make the proper adjustments. And look, I love Mike Budenholzer as a coach. I think he's an excellent coach. There has been a history of being a little stubborn. And there were plenty of reports about his job status before this postseason started. And Richard Jefferson was on KJZ this morning and addressed that those may not be done necessarily.
That's a tough one, man, because sometimes you go different voice. Can we get better coach? Is there someone that might be better equipped? I don't know. I know, you know, if they wouldn't have made it to the finals, especially in this year, I think there was no chance. And I think the further they go in the finals, the closer they get, I think that puts them in a better position. But look, whatever it is, Bud has proven that he's a very good coach. His job is just to get over that hump and get a championship.
We'll see. Look, I think they're going to keep Mike Budenholzer. That's just me personally. But this series, albeit not the superstar series we've had in the past, I love the Chris Paul angle. I told you how much it reminds me of John Elway and his career trajectory. And I'm curious to see what adjustments are made by the Bucks. I think there are some simple adjustments they can make on defense, like not leaving your big men out there on an island against Chris Paul. That's probably where you start. But speaking of football, Jeff Darlington is going to join us here in a second, ESPN NFL insider. But I wanted to talk about this real quick, and I'm going to ask Jeff. I'm going to put Jeff under the lights right out of the gate. So a couple of weeks ago, Tom Brady was on an episode of The Shop, LeBron's show on HBO. And he was asking about, or they were talking about Tom Brady's Tom Brady moving on from New England and just kind of what teams he was going to be on and how he ended up in Tampa Bay. And Tom said something that stuck out to me. He said that one of the teams, at the end, they weren't interested. He's like, I was thinking when I heard that they weren't interested, you're sticking with that mother bleeper? Like, he was offended that the team would rather have whatever quarterback that was in place rather than him. Now, a story came out yesterday. I guess someone, for some reason, asked Derek Carr if he was that quote-unquote mother bleeper, and he says no, it was not him. So Jeff Darlington is with us here now on the Goodyear Hotline. You are Mr. Tom. You got to sit down with Tom Brady, okay? I have known you for 20 years. I know you know the answer to who this mother bleeper is.
Just between you and me?
Yeah, just between you and me. Darlington, we have known each other too long for you to lie to me. Who is this person that Tom Brady is discussing?
Okay, hold on a second. I got some questions. What Derek Carr says it's not him.
He says it's not him. He says, here's the quote.
How does he know?
Okay, hold on. Here's the quote, okay? He said, quote, from what I know, it wasn't me, which is good. He told a podcast called Brother from Another on Wednesday, I know you got rings, but if it's not me, then we're good. What I heard, it wasn't me, and so I'm good with that. Now, maybe not. Maybe it was John Gruden who told him that. And why would John Gruden tell him the truth?
Who tells him that? Does Tom text him and be like, hey, bro, just so you know, I wasn't talking about you? Like, does Tom then text, like 31 quarterbacks around the league to tell them the same thing? Like, yeah. I love this story so much because it has created so much wonder and conversation.
So who is it? Come on, Darlington. You know.
It's not Derek Carr, apparently. Like, so I don't know what to tell you. Look, I'll just say this. The Raiders were very much in the mix toward the end of the whole thing. They were having internal conversations and ultimately decided they didn't like the film that Brady had been putting on tape the last year that Brady was in New England. So they backed out. So, I mean, I don't know if that's who Tom was talking about, but I don't know what other team he'd be talking. I mean, there were other teams, the Chargers, but that's the team that ended up drafting Justin Herbert.
The Niners?
I mean, he wasn't talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. That's just not the case. And by the way, I think Tom could have ended up in San Francisco. There's another bomb for you if he wanted to. So it's not them either. I mean, the Raiders are the one team that really, truly, like, were in the mix and decided to get out of it. The Saints, for instance, were a team that really saw Tom Brady as the answer if Brees retired, but Brees came back. No, Tom was not talking about Drew Brees. The amazing thing is, by the way, how many of the teams didn't even consider Tom Brady the way that the Raiders did? Like, that's the people, those are the teams that should really kind of get under Tom's skin. But he's fine. The best part of that conversation, Sedano, was that he goes, I wouldn't have gone there anyway.
That is funny. That, in retrospect, that is funny. But so basically, Raj, put it on the scroll. Jeff Darlington is reporting that we have deduced that it is actually Derek Carr. Okay, so there you go. Put that on the scroll.
It's one of those things where, like, do I want to know the answer as, like, a reporter, knowing that I can't say it? You know what I mean? Like, I hate, obviously, can you tell how much I hate this conversation?
Oh, I know. But this is why I love to hear you squirm. I don't get these opportunities as much as I used to back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. You used to do that when we talked about the Dolphins.
All the time back in those days. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Well, let's talk about some other stuff that's going on. Big decisions with these. Speaking of quarterbacks, Lamar, Baker, Josh Allen, no extension. Before we get into specifics of each guy, I feel like I like the direction Jeff and Jeff Darlington, by the way, ESPN NFL insider with us here. I like the direction that teams are going here because the way that financially things are structured now with the drafts going back to, you know, Sam Bradford, I guess, being the last guy with a crazy, crazy signing bonus. You know, since then, you know, the cost of drafting a quarterback has lessened, obviously, and it's not as impactful versus the cap. So I like teams kind of saying, all right, we're going to take this down to the deadline, see how we really feel about this guy before putting a ring on their finger and marrying them long-term and committing long-term money to them. I think this is smart business.
It costs more, ideally. But as a team, you have to kind of decide, like, you want it to cost more. Like, you want ultimately to feel like you know exactly what you're getting. It is a really interesting line, though, that these teams face. Because, like, with Carson Wentz, for instance, remember when he got his deal done going into his fourth year? It was before his fourth season. You're like, wow, that felt out of nowhere and super early. Mm-hmm. And then Dak Prescott, for instance, he goes much later and winds up probably getting more than he would have had he done his deal earlier. So these GMs are faced with a really interesting decision now that you kind of have to make that call, generally speaking, before the fourth season. I remember a conversation with Scott McLuhan, who was the Washington general manager when Kirk Cousins and RG3 were going through their thing. And Scott had one time told me that it was never going to happen with Kirk Cousins because they passed the point where the value that Washington placed on him was the value that Kirk had for himself. Like, the bridge got too wide. That's the one danger you have with a guy like Baker. If Baker goes out and becomes the MVP this year, all of a sudden, does Cleveland value him the same way? You would think yes, but suddenly he could become the most coveted, highest paid free agent to ever play the game. So it's a tough line. You want to get a bargain, but you also want to make sure that you have your guy.
Yeah, and look, Jared Goff is an example. They paid him. Look, I'm in L.A. We hemmed and hawed about that on Sports Talk Radio on ESPN Los Angeles a ton. They did it, and then they realized in the end, oh, no, you know, we probably shouldn't have done that, and they had to do the cap gymnastics to get out of the deal and trade for Stafford.
First-round picks to get out of it. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably, honestly, but if you think about it, it's probably the biggest challenge for an NFL general manager right now is to decide. And it's kind of fun that they made it so that you can, going into that fourth year, you can renegotiate the contract, because it definitely makes, I mean, think about it. It's all we talk about every mm-hmm. offseason, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
it has definitely added a layer of intrigue to every offseason since this CBA was instituted.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN, NFL Insider. All right, got about a minute here. So just quickly, as quickly as you can, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield. What is the status of those potential negotiations?
Yeah, so all three, very interesting. Josh Allen and the Bills feels like, it would get done first. Although Baker Mayfield's agent has said he doesn't feel the need to wait for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson to get their deal done. It feels like there's enough precedent in the market. I was surprised by that. So he actually feels confident that Baker's deal will get done before the start of camp, which would mean the next few weeks. Finally, Lamar Jackson, most intriguing because he doesn't have a traditional agent. His mother handles a lot of his business dealings and is serving as his manager. So that, to me, the most intriguing, because there's so many questions about whether you pay a guy like that, given his unique skill set, the amount of money that an NFL MVP would covet. That, to me, is the one that goes much further down the wire. But who knows? They're all very interesting, for sure.
Jeff Darlington, one of the best in the business covering the NFL, ESPN NFL
Sorry,
Insider.
I'll text Tom right now and find out what the team was. Once
yeah, find out, then text me. I won't. I swear to God I won't say it on the air.
your fingers crossed?
I swear to God, if you text me, I will not reveal it. I've known you for 20 years. I have never broken your confidence on something like that. But if you text me, all I'm going to do is just laugh and just write emojis back to you. That's all I promise.
All right. We'll talk.
All right. There he is. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL Insider. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Jeff joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Speaking of football, turns out the Rams weren't the only team in the NFC who wanted Matthew Stafford. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, recent data shows that out of all the female-owned businesses, it's estimated that 1 in 3 is owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one such mompreneur. She needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company, so she uses ZipRecruiter. Their technology helps her find the right people for her job quickly, and in fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. M-A-X, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. The Rams weren't the only team interested in Stafford. Find out who was next.
It's the biggest season ever.
Baker Mayfield's a quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. He's going to get top paid dollar. I developed him, and he's ready to go. Why would I let him walk out of the building?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The countdown to the NFL season continues. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus continues. George Sedano in for Max. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Before we get to some football talk, and thanks to Jeff Darlington for joining us there. Still hasn't texted me, Raj. I'm just letting you know. Although, what kind of flex was that from my guy Jeff? Okay, Sedano, I'll do this. I'll text Tom and then text you what he says. What a flex. I love it.
He just dropped it all cool. And for those that forgot, Jeff was the first one that definitively said Tom Brady was leaving New England.
Yep.
The first
one. You and I remember that because we had some, not you and me specifically, but we had some colleagues who didn't necessarily believe that at the time.
Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here, Thomas. You guys are stupid.
Keyshawn Johnson at the time was like, oh, that ain't going to happen. And it did. We love you, Key. But Jeff got it. He nailed that one. But anyway, Christine Lisi, not in this update, but in the previous update, she mentioned that the Tyson Fury situation that Mike Coppinger, who, by the way, welcome Mike Coppinger to ESPN. I mean, you're talking about a man who covers combat sports as well as anybody, particularly boxing. I mean, Mike Coppinger, he's the man. So welcome aboard Mike Coppinger to the ESPN family. But so his story is that there is a COVID outbreak in Tyson Fury's camp, and this fight was to be held in Vegas on July 24th for the heavyweight championship with him and Deontay Wilder. And we're going to see if there's going to be an actual fight on July 24th. They're going to have to try to figure out whether they can have the fight or whether they postpone it. Again, it's in the camp, nothing specific to Tyson. And Top Rank has put out a statement that says, we continue to monitor the health status of Tyson and his team, and the status of the event has not changed to date. That from the statement from Top Rank Boxing. But, man, Raj, I already bought the plane tickets, man.
I was about to say, as you know, there's a lot of dominoes that fall with that. I don't know if you want to put it out there, but yeah.
I'm ready to roll.
I did. I mean? Like, come on.
I put the deposits down on the room. I booked the flights. And not only did I book the flights for me and my wife, but I got my sister and my brother-in-law coming to town. I'm taking them to the fight. So I already bought their airline tickets too. I was like, oh, I'll get you. Man. I got you. You know, and then
you might have to take them to Disneyland instead.
I may have to figure something out. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's crazy. Come on, man. You guys got to fight. No, I'm just kidding. I hope everyone is healthy. And hopefully everyone is cool and healthy and we do get a fight. So, but again, Mike Coppinger with that. And of course, the report on ESPN.com as well. So speaking of reporting, and again, thanks to Jeff for joining us there. Talk some football with him. Speaking of football, too. So Peter Schrager and Sean McVay. Peter Schrager of Fox Sports and the NFL Network. He's the host of Good Morning Football, or one of the hosts of Good Morning Football. And Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, they do a podcast together. And it's called Flying Coach with Sean McVay and Peter Schrager. And on that podcast, Raj, they had Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
That's how old I am. Kyle Shanahan was a guest on the podcast. And there were some intriguing things that came out of that conversation. They were talking about a number of things, including, you know, Kyle was the offensive coordinator, you know, to bring this all together with Tom Brady when the Atlanta Falcons blew that 28-3 lead to Tom Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And he was reminiscing about all the calls that he made, which was pretty cool, like just to hear him talk about it, right? And the other thing he said was he wasn't thrilled when he saw that Matthew Stafford was in his division and revealed that the Niners were kicking the tires on Matthew Stafford. So, I think that's fascinating. It's pretty cool because McVay actually has like a great relationship with Kyle Shanahan And God, his name just escaped me right
Coordinator.
Now. No, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, my goodness.
Kyle Murray. I just lost his name. Good looking Texas Tech. Cliff Kingsbury. Sorry. Yes. Cliff Kingsbury. It just took me a second there. But, yeah, him and Sean has a good relationship with both guys. But it is fascinating how competitive they are despite being friends. But Shanahan revealing that. Could you imagine if the Niners would have ended up with Stafford, the whole draft would have been completely different.
Ooh, and then going back to that room when you're asked who's the Emmer Effer, maybe right. It was in San Francisco. It's like, man, poor guy. You know, he's feeling like right now he's looking over his shoulder every single day of the week.
Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah. But you know, Jeff Darlington did dismiss that part of the equation very quickly. And for those that don't know what we're talking about, Tom Brady – a couple of weeks ago, he was on The Shop with LeBron and those guys on HBO, and he was talking about his process of figuring out where he was going to end up after leaving New England. And he said that there was one team that they were interested, but at the very end, they decided to stick with their quarterback. And Tom's reaction was, you're sticking with that mother bleeper, of talking about that particular quarterback. But Jeff did dismiss Raj that it was not Garoppolo who he was talking about. So there is that. And by the way, you know, because Jimmy and Brady also share an agent, so he would have known what the deal was with that as well. So
let me ask you this. You think so Stafford, since he's so coveted by these two teams, with the 49ers, how much of an upgrade do you think he'll be? And I'm sure you've mentioned it on your local show here in LA. How much an upgrade is Stafford over Goff, in your opinion? Does it make the Rams a true NFC contender?
Well, I have my own opinions, but let's hear Dan Orlovsky, who had comments on it. Let's hear from Dan.
Matthew Stafford has the chance to have his Steve Young type of moment career-wise where he gets that quote-unquote monkey off of his back. And I just think he's never had a coach, a talented roster, or a team surrounding him like he does with the Rams right now. This situation is ideal for both people, or both parties essentially, Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. The situation is better in Los Angeles.
Okay, so that's what Dan Orlovsky thinks. I'll tell you what I think in a second. But Keyshawn, from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, KJZ, had a different take on that. Let me hear Key.
Yeah, Dan, I disagree with you. I think the situation is better in San Francisco. You got a Super Bowl appearing quarterback in Jimmy G, but you got a guy waiting in the wings in Trey Lance that they feel very highly confident about. They feel good about him at the quarterback spot. If for some reason they have to go to him, they're not hesitating to pull the trigger. When you look at Matthew Stafford, 0-3 lifetime in the playoffs. Not all his fault. There's no question about it. This is the best team that he's probably been surrounded around, but there's a lot of pressure. Super Bowl's in L.A. A lot of picks was given up for Matthew Stafford.
All right. I'm going to tell you how I'll break the tie on those two and their argument about Matthew Stafford and the Rams and the Niners on the other side. Plus, wait to hear what CC Sabathia had to say about baseball's good old unwritten rules. By the way, the NBA Finals are back on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 2 as the Suns host the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. All right, we'll tell you what CC said, and I'll break the tie between Key and Dan Orlovsky. Final segment next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Yes, sir. Final segment here, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max. I'll be back tomorrow. Mañana. By the way, did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? We had Kendrick Perkins on, giving us the gospel, telling us to carry on. And then, of course, Jeff Darlington talking about Tom Brady and who the quote-unquote mother bleeper was that Tom Brady was referring to. Those are Tom's words, not mine. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcast. The ESPN app, Google, Spotify, you know, wherever you find, Apple, wherever you find your podcast. All right, so real quick, I want to get to CC Sabathia and his comments because I could not agree more with something he said recently. But we were talking football a second ago, and we were talking about Matthew Stafford and how Kyle Shanahan revealed that on the podcast with Sean McVay and Peter Schrager that they do together called Flying Coach, that the Niners kicked the tires on Matthew Stafford. And it was discussed on KJZ between Dan Orlovsky and Keyshawn. Let's start with Dan, and then I'm going to break the tie here because they disagree. But let's hear Dan's spin on who has the better quarterback situation, the Rams or the Niners. Let's start there.
Matthew Stafford has the chance to have his Steve Young type of moment career-wise where he gets that quote-unquote monkey off of his back. And I just think he's never had a coach, a talented roster, or a team surrounding him like he does with the Rams right now. This situation is ideal for both people, or both parties essentially, Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. The situation is better in Los Angeles.
All right, so now let's hear Key's rebuttal.
Yeah, Dan, I disagree with you. I think the situation is better in San Francisco. You got a Super Bowl appearing quarterback in Jimmy G, but you got a guy waiting in the wings in Trey Lance that they feel very highly confident about. They feel good about him at the quarterback spot. If for some reason they have to go to him, they're not hesitating to pull the trigger. When you look at Matthew Stafford, 0-3 lifetime in the playoffs. Not all his fault. There's no question about it. This is the best team that he's probably been surrounded around, but there's a lot of pressure. Super Bowl's in L.A. A lot of picks was given up for Matthew Stafford.
Okay. Now, I understand where both guys are coming from. But, Raj, isn't the easiest way to break this tie? Forget about what I think, because I do think that Matthew Stafford is a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that Matthew Stafford was a better quarterback than Jared Goff. I think that the Rams defense is one of the top couple, you know, two or three defenses in the NFL. We know that Sean McVay is an amazing offensive coach, right? We know that he's creative. He does a lot of things. They've got, you know, a good running back stable, particularly led by the young man Cam Akers from Florida State, who, by the way, people forget that this kid was the number one running back coming out of high school just a number of years ago and unfortunately played at a Florida State school at that time that just had issues, right? They weren't as good as they normally are, particularly along the offensive line. But Cam Akers is an incredible talent at the running back position. So they've got all the pieces in place. What they need is a competent quarterback, which I think that they had in Jared Goff, but if they want to win a championship, you need a guy who's a good quarterback, which they now have in Matthew Stafford. That's my position on it. But Raj, isn't the tell-all here is that Kyle Shanahan was willing to upgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo to Matthew Stafford, and he revealed that?
They say great minds think alike, and you know, as you mentioned earlier, McVay and Shanahan, they get along, they came up together and stuff like that, so yeah, that must make McVay and the Rams feel great that they jumped on it before their division rival could.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at Matthew Stafford, okay, and his career in the NFL, and I love Pro Football Focus. That's like my thing. It's my jam. Matthew Stafford generally is in kind of in that top 10 to 12 range. This last year, he was number 14, I believe. If you look at some of these other guys that we're talking about, Jimmy G, a lot lower, right? Jared Goff, a lot lower. You know, so I understand he went to a Super Bowl, but I don't feel like they went to the Super Bowl because of Jimmy Garoppolo. I feel like they went to the Super Bowl, much like the Rams did with Jared Goff, because of the pieces around him.
And I was listening to something earlier, reading something from Pro Football Weekly. McVay felt everyone figured out his offense. Remember how they came out and all those gadgets and motion and all that stuff, and Goff was doing great. Once people figured that out, he had something else for him, more in the playbook, but Goff couldn't make those throws.
Correct.
So Stafford, in McVay's eyes, can make the throws that take that offense to yet another level, which is scary for the rest of the NFC.
Right, because a couple years ago, we were like, whoa, the Rams are insane, and now they've got that guy, to your point. Speaking of being that guy, before we get out of here, CC Sabathia. Look, I grew up a Yankee fan. I got a lot of love for CC Sabathia. I think CC Sabathia is an amazing athlete, an amazing pitcher, an amazing person in my limited interactions with him. And I know that my guy Ryan Rucco does a podcast with him regularly. So you got to listen to that podcast too. I know we promoted a lot of podcasts today. But here's what CC wrote here. He is talking, he's got an upcoming book called Till the End, and it addresses baseball's unwritten rules and the pressure that Black athletes or people of color face in baseball. Sabathia writes, if you don't want to see someone pimp a home run, don't give it up. If you don't want to see me yelling and cussing as I walk off the mound, don't strike out. Baseball is boring too much of the time. I'm talking about the way people say he played the game the right way, quote unquote, when what they really mean is, quote, he played it the white way. What they mean is they don't like the flair that the black and Hispanic guys bring to the field. Rod, you and I have had this conversation for a million years. The best time for baseball is the World Baseball Classic. People are wilding out in the stands. The players are allowed to do their thing. That, to me, is the most fun baseball can be. And I think little by little, we've seen more and more guys, particularly Bryce Harper being a big proponent of, hey, let's bring flair to the game. Let people be who they are. Let the personality sell. I am absolutely behind what CC said there, 100%. And just because it was done a certain way before shouldn't mean that it's the way it should be moving forward. Life evolves. The game evolves. And we evolve. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Kendrick Perkins. Thanks to Raj and Bubba. Thanks to Jeff Darlington. We'll talk to you mañana. See ya.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.